Welcome to LMFAO Sport, the podcast, episode one. Wherever you may be watching or listening to us, thank you for tuning in. I am Austin Franklin. You may have seen me on your shorts feed. You may have heard me voicing something over. And I hope you enjoy today's podcast. We will be talking about, you know, everything going on in sports right now and debating stuff that they don't want to talk about on First Take. Stephen A. doesn't want to have these debates. Skip Bayless is too scared to have them. A couple of cowards, but we're not. We'll have those debates. And I am joined by my co-hosts, if they'd like to introduce themselves.
Yeah, so I'm Ben, editing, writing all the stuff that, all the stuff that Austin was posting, you know, just managing the community at LMFAO Sport. Not much to say. Just ready to start talking, honestly. Big talker.
Yep, my name is Fernando Gutierrez, also an editor and producer, and right now I'm a Steelers fan in pain, so that's kind of where I'm at.
You know, as a Steelers fan in pain, I think that this is a good place to start, is what's going on in Pittsburgh with Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett?
Nothing good, at least from Trubisky's sake. Getting benched during the halftime of the Jets game is a rough place to be. But he does get to keep doing the coin toss as the team captain, so that's pretty cool.
How awkward do you think that is for him?
Extremely awkward.
Like, imagine he's the team captain.
The water boy for the coin toss. I would feel demoralized.
Why are they doing that? I mean, he's the captain, and then he got benched after two games, and he's not starting anymore, but he still has to do the coin toss. Imagine having to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I figured you'd bring out someone like Cam Hayward or like, Najee or any of the other guys who are sort of captains on that team. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know how Tomlin works. All I know is Trubisky won his first coin toss as a bench player on Sunday against the Bills. Deferred.
Do you think that's what it is? Do you think he's just like really good at the coin toss?
Maybe he's just got a spidey sense for it.
He's got to be a tails never fails guy, and I'm sure that's Tomlin's MO too. So he's probably like, I gotta keep him in.
Or he could also be like a sleight of hand magician, and that's why they're using it. Like, they toss it up and they throws one out of his sleeve.
Yeah, maybe they're like this guy can't throw a football, but boy, can he do sleight of hand and win us some coin tosses.
Have you seen him pull a coin behind the referee's ear? It's, you know, I'm just saying, you know, he'd be more.
It's not like it helped much either. I mean, we still got cremated, so.
I mean, to me, though, that's not even the most interesting quarterback story of the week going on right now. The most interesting quarterback situation to me is Russell Wilson and all of his former teammates coming out saying that they cannot stand him.
I mean, yeah, do you guys hear Richard Sherman talk about Wilson, like, on the broadcast? I thought he was going to start frothing at the mouth.
He's like
insane.
A wild dog, dude.
They're sitting at a desk all wearing suits, just screaming. I mean, obviously, he's got that pent-up anger. Obviously, after Russell Wilson threw away the Super Bowl in similar fashion. But, like, why didn't they run the ball is also the thing. But that game, like, you could spend hours talking about that game in general. That might have been the worst game the NFL has put on television in the past, like, decade.
It makes you wonder, too, if you remember a few weeks ago when it was a similar situation, but they had the field goal kicker come out on the field, and everyone was like, why would you go for the field goal? Like, it was a 50-plus yarder, and everyone's trashing Nathaniel Hackett like he's the worst coach to come out in the past like 20 years. And it really makes you wonder, like, did he know something that we didn't know? Like, is Russell really just not that guy? Like, I don't know, man. He might be washed.
Interesting is that they just decided to release the statement that I believe he's playing with like a torn rotator cuff or something like that. And it's like, oh, he's been playing with this since week one. He's just been like playing through pain. That's why he's been so bad. And it seems like really peculiar timing to release that. Why was that not on the injury report week one? Like, why are we just finding out about that week five?
You know, like, you look at Tua, what happened with Tua, I don't, like, there's got to be something that's going to come of it, but I think this, like, every year where it feels like they're in a position to make some change in the NFL about injury regarding their players, And then they, like, the fact that Tua was in that game where he got, like, what looks like permanent brain damage. Like, you look at that in the game a week before when he got hit and he can't even stand up. And you're just like, yeah, this guy's good for next week. In what world?
Can we just acknowledge that after the second hit the week at, like, this past week, they waited until, like, what was it, like, Thursday or Friday to announce that Tua wasn't playing? And everyone's like, yeah, obviously. Like, what, yeah. Why did you wait half a week to announce that?
He's not playing.
Like, his medical statement when they released it is like, he has full use of all of his limbs. Like, yeah, I assumed he wasn't playing the next week, if you have to clarify that. That was insane.
If you saw that hit, I think that he isn't playing the week after.
Yeah. I don't know. Something weird.
What do you guys think about Kyler Murray going 3-43 on weekends that Call of Duty releases double XP weekends? Like, is he maybe in the wrong profession? I almost feel like maybe he should reconsider playing quarterback, because clearly he's more passionate about Call of Duty, and maybe he's good enough if he's gaming that much. I mean, the Cardinals literally had to put into his contract that he has to watch a certain number of hours of film because he was spending that time playing Call of Duty instead.
Which is insane. That's an insane thing that you have to clarify.
Yeah, just like, you know, you're the franchise quarterback getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and we just want to make sure we incentivize you to actually do your job and watch film. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he's 3-43 on double XP weekends for Call of Duty.
It sounds like a fake stat. Like, it sounds like,
but it's something not.
The Onion would put out or something. But it's like, it's a it's too much to be a coincidence.
Do we think he's actually good at gaming?
Is he?
Does he stream at all? I know a lot of NFL players have been getting on the streaming game, but
yeah, I almost feel like maybe he's not playing into it enough. Like, maybe he needs to get, like, a Call of Duty sponsorship, become the spokesperson for Call of Duty, and, like, really just lean into the fact that he's just gaming all day long instead of doing his job.
Oh, but they would be so pissed. That'd be it. Everyone,
but don't you think they're already pissed enough at him already?
I don't know. It's just like, this is just shocking to me, this stat. It doesn't make sense.
When his contract came out this summer, everybody was like, oh, that's ridiculous that they would even have to add that in. And then just the numbers don't lie. Like, he's 3-43 in Call of Duty double XP weekends. Clearly, it can't be that much of a coincidence. Like, it can't be that much of a coincidence that he's 3-43.
Yeah, I don't know. And if you see there's the controversy in that game, too, of him spiking the ball late third down. And he had to, like, explain it later in the press conference. And, like, you know, whenever you're, like, that's always bad. Whenever you're, like, I remember the New York Knicks had to do that after they messed up the draft. Whenever you have to explain what you did, it's never good. It's never.
Because the thing is, like, he's clearly so naturally talented. Like, he can throw the ball. He's, like, an insane athlete. Can avoid getting sacked. All he has to do is be willing to put in the time to study, and he would be an unbelievable, you know, top five quarterback in the league.
There's no reason why he shouldn't be top five.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a collab between him and Juju at this point. With just the, like, gaming NFL players, him, Juju, I don't know. I saw, what's his name? Von Miller was streaming the other day. I feel like there's some missed opportunities here from the gaming world perspective that, like, we're not getting those collabs. Like, Fortnite should have jumped on Juju and Kyler, like, immediately.
Yeah, and made those collabs happen.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal favorite moment from this NFL weekend was Brian Robinson Jr. Did you guys see or hear about this story?
Yeah.
So he got shot multiple times about 6 weeks ago in an attempted armed robbery, survived it, and was cleared to play the Thursday before Sunday. Practiced once and then played in an NFL game on Sunday and came out to many men by 50 Cent. It's like the most incredible thing, like, out of this weekend, bar none for me. Like, so savage to not only get back on the field that quickly after getting shot multiple times, but your walkout song is Many Men by 50 Cent. Like, I don't think there's a better walkout song that he could have chosen.
And the walkout itself actually kind of reminded me of, like, Joe Burrow's walkout, that famous LSU Joe Burrow walkout. It's just, like, it's almost identical. But
like,
they're
the camera angles?
Yeah, the camera angles and just sort of the vibe, the like, energy you're getting from it. Man, it's a cool moment for him. I'm glad he's all right. I think that goes without saying, but I'm glad he's okay and that he's able to, you know, come back out and play and continue his career. But yeah, that clip is really cool.
Yeah, it just sucks he's on the Commanders.
It sucks he's a commie. What do you think there's a better, like, I was trying to think of it. I don't think there's a better walkout song he could have chosen. The only thing I could think of is Who Shot You by Biggie. But I can't think of anything else better. Like, I was trying to think, you know, like maybe like a Johnny Cash song or something like that. But I think he really nailed it and picked the perfect song.
I bet they had like a whole marketing team on it too, right?
Like, they I don't have, know. Like, it, people, it felt
he's
so
like
genuine.
Walking out, they have like a team.
Yeah, they have like the whole marketing team.
Like just it, searching through libraries, just listening to albums, trying
yeah,
to
in a boardroom. Somebody's like, what if it was like Taylor Swift? I'm like, shut
top
up.
10 songs about getting
shut
shot.
Up, Karen.
Yeah. Just got the intern on it.
I like to believe that he chose that, but it could have very well been like a whole marketing team.
What kind of meeting is that though? Like, all right, you got shot. What are we doing?
How do we reintroduce you to the world after getting shot?
I mean, there's been, you know, more deplorable marketing teams out there than that.
And
chose it as well.
What are you speaking of, just like pure violence in sports, how about the Draymond Green punch? Like, we have to talk about that.
What are you
yeah mean? I don't it's so,
so here's my take on the Draymond Green punch, and it's kind of twofold. One is, I don't think, oddly enough, I think that the Warriors are like the only team in the league equipped to handle this situation, purely because the only other time, or probably not the only other time, but you know, the most notorious NBA player getting punched in the face is Steve Kerr by Michael Jordan. So with Steve Kerr as the coach, I don't think that there's a team more equipped to handle this situation. Obviously, it's not a good situation, but they're more than equipped. Steve Kerr is the only guy who can go up to Jordan Poole and be like, hey, I've been there. I've been rocked in the face. Granted, the video footage didn't get out. The Bulls and Jordan's brand did a much better job of keeping that under wraps. Like, who knows? Like, Steve Kerr could have been knocked out. He could have, like, taken it and been totally fine. No one knows because the footage isn't out there. The footage of Jordan Poole getting socked is so bad. He knocked
it's
him out.
It's really
cold.
Bad.
Absolutely ragdolled him. Draymond just Superman punched him, like, almost unprovoked. Like, clearly Jordan Poole said something, but nothing is bad
it's
enough
like,
to sucker punch him. Because
I remember we posted a video about it, and a lot of the comments were like, Poole put hands on him first. And it's like, yeah, Draymond was also in his, like, what do you mean? Yeah. He was like in his face. You're just going to let him stand there like 2 feet away from your, I don't know. It was like,
yeah, obviously
yeah.
Poole
he, like, pushed
him back.
Away. And then Draymond came in with like just the craziest straight right punch.
Yeah, I think I said it in that video. It was like a Chuck Liddell Superman punch that he threw
yeah
at him.
But also, you look at like Poole's performance, and maybe Draymond like knocked some lobe of the brain just like right into the spot where it needed to be. Because just
yeah,
comes
first
out
game
and, like,
back,
drops,
25 points.
He just drops
like highest
25.
Score on the team.
It's like, oh, okay,
so if they win another championship and Jordan and Poole becomes this like elite player, he's like just insane type of year. How much?
Well, I think he already is. Like, I think he's already like a borderline like all-star, and I think he's like, you know, very close to being an all-star. But what's tough is they have so many good players on the team. But Draymond will yeah get no credit if they win another championship, and he's like one of the key reasons.
No, but what
why
if, like, think about like, what if Jordan Poole is just like Linsanity, like just comes out and is just like out of nowhere, just dropping like all time games. And you're like, wait a minute. You can get Draymond touring around to all the teams in the country, just punching them in the face, making star players. Might have that so magic touch.
Here's why I think Jordan Poole getting punched in the face is a good thing. Here's the quote from Steve Kerr after getting punched in the face by Michael Jordan. He said, "I would say it definitely helped our relationship, and that probably sounds really weird." Like, yeah, no shit, it sounds weird. "I feel like I kind of passed the test, and he trusted me more afterwards." Maybe that's like how Jordan Poole's going to feel after getting sucker punched by Draymond Green, is that Draymond's going to trust him more because he can take a hit, I guess.
That's so ridiculous. That just sounds so stupid.
Like, I mean, like, I don't know. From like a coach to player, sure, but like you can't put them. I don't know how if they end up playing Poole and Draymond to get, like, if they end up staying on the same team, that's the best locker room in the NBA, period. Because I don't know. Like,
I mean, it is, right? Like, without a doubt, they have the best culture in the NBA currently. So, like, I think aside, obviously, from Jordan Poole or from Steve Kerr having gotten punched in the face before and having dealt with that, I guess, in a way, there isn't, like, you know, they're, like, championship tested. They've won 4 championships. Like, not that any locker room is equipped to know how to handle that, but if there was, I guess, they have the best chance of, like, working through it.
I mean, it'd be like if, like, Anthony Davis punched Russell Westbrook in the face in practice. I mean, are you telling me the Lakers are going to be, like, fine after that? I mean, they haven't been.
No, because I don't think that their culture is quite as strong. Like, I think it would be, like, similar to if something went down in, like, New England during, you know, the peak of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick dynasty, or, like, you know, something going down at Alabama football. Like, you know, those types of programs are just different than your average NBA team or average sports team.
Is, like, Draymond even worth keeping around anymore, though? It's like, I just don't think he's worth the drama at this point, the bad PR, and just, like, the potential view. Because, wait, what do you say about Wiggins as well? Didn't he also?
Well, they're going to, that's the whole thing, is they're going to have to decide this offseason who they're going to keep and who they're not. And, like, this could very well be the reason that they get rid of Draymond instead of keeping him and extending his contract.
He's dropped, like, 10 a game since, like, 2017, you know?
Well, that's, like, that's allegedly why he punched him in the face, is that he called him triple single.
Yeah, I mean, but it's true, is the thing. Like, Draymond's, like, at what point is Draymond like, wait, he's kind of right.
Yeah. And, I mean, some team in the NBA is going to pay Draymond, like, a max deal because teams are desperate.
It's going to be the Knicks. I know it. The Knicks are going to, like, just make the most stupid, like, just pay him all we got left in the big bank vault. And that we're just kind of the most trash team of all time again.
At least you'll have triple single.
Yeah, amen.
To Draymond's credit, though, I think he is, like, a big part of that culture and, like, kind of keeping them humble and, like, on track. So, you know, I don't think it's as cut and dry as, like, oh, he's playing poorly.
Yeah, I would agree. And I do think that Draymond's impact doesn't – it's tough to say, but he is a guy that, like, his impact doesn't show up on the stat sheet. He is locking down other teams' best defenders. He is, you know, setting up everything in the pick and roll with Steph. So it's not necessarily something that shows up on the stat sheet, but, like, you'd think maybe a little it would show up in the stat sheet. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes down in Golden State. But speaking of LA, dude, what is going on with the Lakers? Like, I guess I'll start with LeBron is about to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in all-time points. And when asked if he had any sort of relationship with Kareem, he was just like, nope, no relationship. And Kareem made it seem like he didn't have any, like, interest in having a relationship with LeBron, like, which is kind of, like, sad in a way that he's about to. It's like two of arguably the three best players of all time, and they have no relationship. But I mean, it makes sense. Like, Kareem's super old, and LeBron's in his 30s. Like, I don't expect them to hang out, but it doesn't seem like there's any sort of respect between the two. Like, it almost seems like they don't respect each other.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you talk about like great players, you know, that you're always going to have those like few greats of the greats that like just aren't, you know, they don't get along. There's not necessarily that like, there might be that respect, but there's not that like companionship that you might want or expect out of them. I don't know, man. It sounds like there's some history there. Maybe there's like some stuff we haven't heard of.
I kind of just think that Kareem like doesn't respect LeBron and thinks he's kind of like an idiot, because LeBron has had some like crazy takes over the years, like, you know, when Enes Kanter is speaking out against China and like Nike and underpaying their workers, and LeBron and Daryl Morey also spoke out about it, the Rockets GM, being like, you know, like, we don't condone what's going on in China. And LeBron was kind of like, no, like, don't, like, they don't know what they're talking about, like, they should just shut up. And it's like, dude, like, they're right, you know, like, I get that, you know, the second biggest NBA market is China and you're making money off of it, but like,
and they also
you're
had,
wrong.
Like, Space Jam coming out too. It's like,
yeah, whole, like, and it seems like Kareem, who's so you know, like, such an activist, just doesn't, you know, respect LeBron for maybe not speaking up as much as he can. It just seems like the weirdest dynamic ever.
I mean,
and it's really coming to fruition with LeBron going to pass him this year.
He said in April, I think, Kareem, that he just like can't tell where LeBron James stands on a lot of stuff. Like, he's supporting, you know, all these anti-racist causes, and then when it comes to China, it's like totally different. And it's just like, he just said like, I can't tell where he's standing. And especially his James's like response to COVID-19, I think, was really lax.
Yeah, it totally was. I mean, LeBron basically like
called it
originally was like, they're like, are you gonna get vaccinated? And he was like, that's only for me and my family to know. And then, and I think Kareem was kind of like, you are the face of the league, like, it would, like, you kind of have a responsibility to let people know. And I think that maybe LeBron doesn't think he has a responsibility to speak out on issues like that. And I think that Kareem's point is kind of like, it is your responsibility, like, whether you like it or not, because you're so front facing.
But I think, to LeBron's defense, I mean, he is like, I mean, his influence in like culture in general is very apparent, and I think I'm sure he has a lot that he has to balance, right? Like, he can't just like he is active in the communities that he chooses to be active in, but I do think when it comes to like things that are much more global is where you've seen those issues, that like sort of tension in terms of like things he says versus things he does. And so I think, you know, I don't get paid like he does, and I don't necessarily envy that either, because I don't necessarily want to be asked questions about China and Taiwan if I'm playing in the NBA, you know? So I don't know. I definitely don't envy the position he's in. I can kind of understand why he might be a little bit more passive on some issues. Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm curious to see, like, obviously at some point, Kareem is going to get passed by LeBron in all-time points this season.
And they're going to have to do, like, a handshake or something.
Do they? Does Kareem show up to the game? Does he acknowledge it at all? Like, it's going to be really interesting, because it is such a massive moment. Like, it's like, you know, if somebody broke the all-time home run record in MLB, and Kareem's held that crown for what, 30 plus years now. So it's going to be, it's going to be a storyline for the whole NBA season. I'm curious to see how it unfolds. And I'm also curious to see if we get more information regarding their relationship as we get closer to that, you know, benchmark.
And also, as a side tangent, I was just looking at like, Kareem's, stats career wise and looking at the points, how close LeBron is. Do you know he was 1 for 18 career three-pointers?
And I did not know that, but it's so interesting whenever you look at those numbers, and it's like, because Kareem, they introduced the three-point line in 19, 80, I want to say, or late 70s. And so, like, half of Kareem's career, they didn't have a three-point line. And I guess, yeah, like, in the 80s, he was just like, man, I'm, like, scoring enough with this guy. Look, I guess I don't need it. And I guess he didn't need it.
They just didn't have it.
I guess it's better than Shaq. Isn't Shaq, what, 0-for-1 all-time three-pointer or something? Or maybe he's 1-for-1?
1-for-22.
0-for-22? Is that Shaq?
1-for-22.
1-for-22. So they almost have identical three-point statistics, the two of them.
You're good at what you're good at, you know.
But that wasn't my favorite LeBron storyline from the week. My favorite LeBron storyline from the week is that his golf swing got leaked by someone. LeBron's team was trying to cover it up. It would come out, like, the video would come out and get taken down. The video came out, get taken down, and then eventually they were like, it's out. Like, we can't take it down. Somebody got video footage of LeBron taking a golf swing at what looks like a Topgolf, and it is the most disgusting swing maybe ever. It's like Charles Barkley level bad.
Does he, like, play golf?
I imagine. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting because you see somebody who's that athletic, and you're like, they've got to be good at every sport. But
But, like, you saw the quality of that swing, and you're thinking, maybe not
so
this
bad
one, though.
And unfortunately for LeBron, Harry Styles decided to drop his golf swing like a day later, and Harry's looks exceptional. Like, I sent it to a friend of mine who's like a -2 golfer, or +2. What is it?
+2 under or +2 over?
2 over.
All right, yeah, +2.
Yeah, and I was like, is this – because it looks good to me. I mean, I don't golf enough to know. And he was like, that is like a solid swing. You know?
I watched that clip, and I, as an avid golfer, not a good golfer, but one who plays a lot. You know, the swing is definitely there. It's pretty solid. The ball path, when you watch it kind of, you know, traveling, it's very interesting. It looks like it's going pretty far right. But yeah, he's got him. I mean, compared to LeBron's, I mean, I saw LeBron's. I don't even think he did a full swing. It was like a half swing.
I'll tell you this, though. I think the next match should just be Harry Styles versus LeBron. That would do numbers. Harry Styles versus LeBron would do absolute numbers. And to see LeBron get his ass beat in golf by Harry Styles would be fantastic television. I would 100% tune in for that.
Think about, like, how I honestly feel bad. Like, any normal person, you have a bad swing, whatever. LeBron James has to have a team to make sure his golf swing, like, doesn't get leaked. Like, every 95% of people that play golf are absolutely awful.
Yeah,
and if LeBron James is bad at it, he has to have a whole PR team. Like, he can't just be bad at something.
It has to be like, oh, by the way, let's get our PR team on that. Like, do you think they, like, chased down the guy filming it? Did they just not happen to see that he was filming it? I don't know, but it is fucking hysterical to me that
they tried to get that down. Like, the match style where you had, like, Brady Rogers versus Mahomes Allen, like, do that, but, like, with LeBron, Charles Barkley, Harry Styles, you know, just get the whole...
And, like, another musician. Like, put, like, Chuck and Harry together against, like, LeBron and, like, Adam Levine. Adam Levine's hot right now. Like, let's see that. Yeah. Let's see... Like, tell me that. That would do absolute numbers. And when TNT does this...
Adam Levine wants to show his face.
I expect to see residuals from that when they see this clip and decide to actually run with it. But, I mean, it was actually a hell of a week for LeBron. The fact that that happened... The whole drama with him and Kareem, the swing, and Bronny turned 18 today. He turns 18, and he had a banger of a birthday party. I mean, as expected, he's like, his dad is super rich. He's famous himself. But so he turns 18. Travis Scott shows up to his birthday party, does a surprise performance, and then the next day he announces that he signed his NIL deal with Nike, which is going to be interesting to see if he even chooses to go to college or chooses to do the G League Ignite route, or if the NBA chooses to get rid of the, you know, you have to do 1 year before the NBA rule, which at this point is stupid because they're just losing so many players that are like, you know, I'm just going to go and play in like what LaMelo did. Like, I'm just going to go play in Australia for a year.
Do you see that French player now? Victor Wembanyama, I believe it is.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wembanyama. He's like listed at 7'2", but then a picture came out of him next to the Wolves center. Why am I blanking his name? Not Cat. The news. Rudy Gobert. And he's like significantly taller than
like
Rudy
has
Gobert.
Like a head on him.
He is like an absolute like unicorn. He's got to be like 7'5", and he shoots like Steph Curry, moves like Kevin Durant, and is just going to keep getting stronger and be like he's probably like the biggest prospect we've seen in a while, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, even I feel like Europe right now is like the NBA released like their top players, and you realize how many of the top players are from Europe, like Jokic, Embiid, Doncic, Giannis. Like,
Simmons, Ben Simmons, I mean, for all the flack he gets, he's from Australia, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you said that. That almost kind of leads into another topic I wanted to touch on, which was women's soccer right now after selling out Wembley Stadium to 90,000 fans, which is insane. And I think that they're seeing like a similar thing to the NBA, where like the NBA was so American centric for so long, and now all these other countries are catching up. I think it's the same thing with women's soccer, where the United States was so dominant for so long, but they're not the clear-cut powerhouse anymore. Like, they lost to England at Wembley. Granted, it was a friendly, but I still think you can, like, you know, see the level of competition there. They're not going to be clear-cut favorites heading into the World Cup, and I think we're seeing kind of like, you know, a transition of power, I guess, where like for so long, it's like every World Cup, every Olympics, they're expected to win. And granted, they'll still be one of the teams that like is expected to win, but it's not like guaranteed that they're going to win anymore and just steamroll over everybody.
I mean, well, and if you tie that in back with the Olympics, right, like this past, what was it last year when they were in the Olympics, from what I recall, they had a tough time with some of those teams, some international teams. And it took Kevin Durant really kind of taking over a lot of those games for them to really be able to finish and win the gold. So you really start to wonder, man, like all these sports that we've always kind of idolized as like American-centric are sort of, obviously with the NFL starting to move into like, you know, playing in London, maybe some games in Mexico probably. In the future. So it makes you wonder, like, you know, all those sports, where do they end up in the next like 10 years in terms of like the global market?
Yeah, and I think as Americans we like to think like, oh, we're the best at everything, and it's nice to think that we are, and it's always fun like whenever we win at things, but clearly we're not. Like, clearly we're losing that.
I mean, then you see the men's soccer countries catch up, and you're like, oh, never mind. Like, you look at the men's soccer team, you're like, okay, well, yeah, they're not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not producing Ronaldo or Messi anytime soon, that's for sure.
Yeah, what do we have? We had that Donovan guy, like, a decade back.
I mean, I don't even know. Men's soccer is
That's
so
the
like,
thing, is, like, I don't care, really.
Yeah, like, no,
like, Americans
I don't even
soccer,
know.
They're not really watching the MLS. They're watching the Premier League. And yeah. It's like, yeah.
Well, that is what I think is interesting about it, is like the NWSL, we have some of the best women's players, and, you know, like the San Diego Wave versus Angel City FC sold out the last time they played, which is like incredible. But the whole narrative is always like, how can the MLS catch up to everything else? And it's like, why isn't the narrative like, you know, the women's soccer leagues are already like at that point, but if we don't invest the money into them, then we're already starting to see like a lot of the best players go and play in the Premier League or play in France or like wherever, just because they're going to get paid more and the facilities are going to be better. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see like how the next, like you guys said, like next decade goes and see, you know, these things that we've traditionally been dominant at, if we're still going to remain dominant in them or if we're going to get passed or if it's just going to even the playing field. Mm-hmm. But now it's time to jump into who you got. If you guys are good to go.
Good to go.
Can I lead with my one? Because I feel like I have a...
This is
almost like an ethical quandary.
This is my favorite one of the week. So you get us going.
It's like, would you rather, the Tom Brady scenario, would you rather have play one more year of football or lose your 10 out of 10, like, supermodel wife that is hundreds of millions of dollars richer than you and your children? So have all that, or you could play football for another few months.
Now, is it, here's my question. Is it like, is it the exact Tom Brady scenario? Like I get all of his, like I'm as good at football as Tom Brady and I'm playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks, or is it just like me playing for a
random football team? Pretty much. Okay. You're Tom Brady and you know, like your wife doesn't want you to play football going in. So you know, it's going to be tough. And you know that you have multiple children that you have to be a father for.
Who you so love? You do that. Presumably you love them. Like he fronts like you
at
love
this
these
point,
kids.
I don't know.
I saw his documentary. Like a lot of it is about like how much he loves Giselle and like how much he loves his kids. 1 year later, boy, has that documentary aged poorly, because I'm not
that,
so
like,
sure.
Milk. That documentary is aged like milk. I mean, it's like, I don't get how you could go from everyone's making fun of you for kissing your kids on the mouth, and then, like, they're just out of your life, I guess. Crazy.
Yeah, maybe you don't love your kids. Like, is kind of what he's saying.
Right? So what would you guys do if you were Tom Brady?
Quick tangent on that, though. It's kind of funny how, like, in the past few months, we've seen a lot of, like, those guys who are, like, family-oriented guys just sort of like fit, like just wrecking their own families. Adam Levine, we kind of mentioned earlier, Tom Brady right now. And then that guy from the Try Guys.
Right?
Yeah. The guy who just like cheated on his wife, and his whole thing is, I love my wife with them.
Tough. It was a tough week for guys who love their wives. Allegedly.
Yeah. Very tough.
Yeah. Week. Allegedly.
I feel like there was a little bit of bias in that question, the way it was phrased, but, I don't know.
No, not at all.
Apparently to some it's harder than others.
So here's what I'll say.
In this scenario, you also really like football.
Here's what I'll say.
You like football. So
here's what I'll say. Giselle is 100% right. Like, the dude is 45 years old. He has nothing left to prove. Like, I saw one of the quotes that was from, like, whatever, Giselle's side. Like, everything just gets leaked. It's always, like, in an article, like, someone on Giselle's team said that she talked to Tom and she, like, reassured him that he is the GOAT. That there is, like, just a hilarious conversation that she had to have. She had to reassure him that he was the GOAT. And say that there is nothing left that he has to prove, which, like, obviously he is in basketball. There's always the debate, right? It's like LeBron, Jordan, Kareem, Russell, like whoever. This is one of the only sports where it's undisputed at this point. Tom Brady is the best of all time. Nobody has more Super Bowls. Nobody has more longevity. Like, you always see the stat. You could break Tom Brady's career up into three separate chunks, and each one would be a Hall of Fame resume. Like, he has nothing left to prove, and she had to be like, she had to like sit him down and tell him that, and he was like, nah, I gotta come back, I got more to prove. Like, what? Like, what do you have to prove? You have to go to the wild card with the Bucks and like lose to the Minnesota Vikings in the wild card round. That being said, as someone whose collegiate sports career just ended, what would I give for one more ride?
Yeah,
one last ride with the boys.
Can't even deny that. I think it
would, but that also being said, I would not give up.
Would you guys break up with your girlfriends right now to play one more year of college athletics? That's the scenario that, like, that's just ridiculous. Even that, like, think about that. Even that is ridiculous. So imagine a wife and children.
Can you imagine if you guys saw me and you were like, You're like, oh, like, how's Jess doing? And I'm like, oh, no, no, like, we broke up. And you guys are like, why? Like, what happened? Like, you guys not getting along anymore? I'm like, oh, yeah, I just want to play one more year of college lacrosse.
Just didn't believe
she was like, you're 25. Like, you should probably stop playing at this point.
She just didn't trust the process, really, is what it came down to.
I had more left to prove. Like, no.
It's so insane. It's like an addiction. Like, at this point, it's just like, I don't think he has any control over it. Like,
I mean,
it
really might be. Like, and that's kind of like the sad part about it is, like, you know, it's easy. Like, we're all making jokes about it right now because it is kind of funny. But, like, it really might be like an addiction. And he just can't control it. And he's like,
Is Tom Brady addicted to football?
Honestly?
Tell you what,
does he need to go to football rehab? Like,
he's not addicted to sex with a supermodel wife. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
that is,
I feel like it's not a decisive topic. It's just like, you know, 95-99% of people are like, you idiot, you stupid moron. Like, you're giving up your, how long have they been married at this point? 10-15 years, something like that. You're giving up your supermodel wife who's worth twice as much as you. Like, you have more than enough money in the world to do whatever the fuck you want for the rest of your life. And just enjoy it with your wife and your kids. See your kids, like, grow up. You get to go to all their games. You get to be there for them. And he's like, football. You know, like, yeah. I don't know.
It's not, you can't even pretend like it's a money thing either.
No.
Like, that's just so insane. I don't know.
I mean, he is going to probably get some alimony, though. Bringing up the
Which is insane. It's insane. He should not have to give up alimony. Like, he should not be getting alimony. Like,
that would be crazy.
There's so much money involved. He probably will. Like, she's worth twice as much as he is. He's worth, I think, like, roughly $200 million. She's worth roughly $400 million. Like, the fact that
does he play?
Simps everywhere are gonna be like, you know.
Does he I feel like he would. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have retired this year anyways. But, like, now it's kind of like that, like, meme going around. What's that one show where the guy's like, go ahead, let's blow this ship up. Like, I'll lose everything, but then I'll have nothing to lose. Like, you know, it's like he's about to lose everything. And so why not, you know, at this point, like, all right, I guess I'm just going to keep playing football until I'm dead or broken, you know?
I guess. I don't know. But so this does kind of transition, though, into Nano, your topic, which is different Patriots quarterback situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously Patriots drafted Mac Jones. What was it? 2 years ago now, out of Alabama, and he's definitely had a up and down, I'd say, career so far in the NFL. Definitely some positives, but some pretty big negatives too. And now he's been injured, and we've been introduced to Ben Zappe. When did you guys draft him? Fourth round this year or something?
Bailey Zappe. Something state, like North Dakota State or something like that.
Something like that. And now
North
you
Dakota
have that.
Sounds perfect.
He's played two pretty solid games. One against the Packers last week and this week against the Lions. And you kind of
Western Kentucky University is where he's from.
So you got to ask yourself, do you keep him in, or do you bring back Mac Jones when he's healthy? And I don't know. I think at this point it feels eerily similar to the quarterback we were literally just talking about in his start.
About
Mac Jones too.
Everybody is saying this. Yeah, like every irrational Patriots fan is like, oh, it's just like Drew Bledsoe. Like, he went out and then Tom Brady came in and we won six Super Bowls. Like, it is not at all the same. Like, Bailey Zappe, the playbook went from like this with Mac Jones to like this with Brian Hoyer to like this with Bailey Zappe. Like, he does not have many responsibilities. They did beat the Lions. They did have a close game against the Packers, but Mac Jones is without a doubt the better quarterback, and Patriots fans just want to believe that, like, this is the exact same thing as Tom Brady coming in for Drew Bledsoe, and it's just not. Bailey Zappi's not as good as Mac Jones. He went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah, I don't think Mac Jones. I don't get how he got into that Pro Bowl, if I'm being completely honest.
That is fair. I mean, he got there because guys got injured or said they didn't want to go and all that kind of stuff.
But, like, imagine being Bailey Zappi. Like, what a nightmare scenario. You're, like, the 17th string on the New England Patriots, and then all of a sudden you're playing against the Green Bay Packers at their stadium.
Like Lambeau Field, historic Lambeau Field.
There, or like playing at the Saints, is like two worst places you could possibly begin your NFL career. I mean, he was put into a losing scenario. It's not like, yeah, they beat the Lions, but like, it's not like, if you look at his numbers from that game, like, it's not like he was putting on an all-star performance. And it's like, every time some white guy gets like subbed in, Patriots fans think they're like watching the beginning of a dynasty. And it's like, no, this guy, like, he just kind of sucks. Like, just because he's unathletic doesn't mean he's Tom Brady.
I think it's, I hate to say it as a Patriots fan, but it's like everybody holding on to the past of like, it's the second coming. It's Tom Brady 2.0. And like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. Like, oh, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. But,
yeah,
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how long Mac's out for. Like, if he's out for an extended period, let's say he's out for the next 6 weeks, and Bailey Zappi goes like 5-2, what do you do? I don't know, but
your schedule looks pretty favorable, at least for the next few.
Yeah,
weeks.
I mean, that's the thing, is the next stretch of games for New England isn't tough. I forget who they're playing, but the beginning of their season was the most difficult. Like, if you look at the power rankings, the teams they've lost to: Packers ranked top five, Ravens ranked top five, Dolphins were ranked top five when they had Tua. Like,
yeah,
they were playing like some of the best teams in the NFL, and they were close games. So,
you know what Austin? Like, it's two. Like, we talked about the Steelers a little bit ago. It's both our fan bases are going through this period of time where we're like no longer the dominant forces in the NFL, and it's sort of like, we're all grasping for whatever straws we can get at this point, because it's like a fall from grace that just hurts.
What it has made me realize, though, is like, you need a dominant quarterback to win in the NFL. You just do. You're either a team that has like a top 10 quarterback and can potentially win a Super Bowl, or you're not. And like, if you don't have one of those guys, you're not even in the discussion.
I don't know. You look at Flacco with the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl.
Well, that was always the question. Is Joe Flacco elite?
No, he's not. And it's not even close. He's not good. I don't care what anyone says. You had the most absolutely disgusting, like, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed in the backfield. Like, it's crazy. You had the best defense in the history of the NFL. And Joe Flacco just kind of existed.
But I do think that those are like the rare circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
That's
Foles,
like the
Joe
one
Flacco.
Time in history, I think.
It's like once a decade that happens.
Like, you take a mediocre quarterback and put him on like literally the best defense in the
Well,
history
like you look at like, look at like, let's go to the Bills, for example. Like, they look like the most complete team in the NFL. If you insert any middle of the pack, or you know what? The Cowboys is a great example, right? Like, they lose Dak, but their defense is just so elite that they're just winning games purely on defense, and Cooper Rush, as long as you don't lose us the game, we'll win the game. And so, you know, obviously there's going to be those examples of those types of players, but for like consistent success, you're not going to see that without a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, a Tom Brady. It's just not, it's not feasible in today's NFL.
Last, would you, or who you got is for me, and it's, this question's been all around the internet. I've been seeing it, but who do you think is more influential, Ronaldo or Beyonce?
I think it would be like very American of me to say Beyonce, but like, you, it's like you look at soccer outside of the scope of literally any other country in the world besides America. Like, you like just go down to Brazil and like, Ronaldo is absolutely massive. Like, he's the best athlete at the biggest sport in the world. I think realistically I'm gonna go with Ronaldo, but I also don't know how much Beyonce they listen to in, like, say, Asian countries? Like, are they cranking Beyonce? Because I know that they have soccer teams and they know who Ronaldo is.
Are they bumping Destiny's Child in like Japan? That's a good question. I don't know. I have to go with Beyonce though, and my logic behind it, and obviously it's super American centric of me to like even suggest this, but I just think that Ronaldo's the second best soccer player of his generation, and based off that, I don't think I can go with Ronaldo. I think Messi's the better player all time. So I think if you're the second best player of your generation, you can't be more.
Did you see, this is a random tangent. Did you see that picture that Ronaldo just posted of him and Jordan Peterson?
I did not see that.
No. Whoa.
So strange. So strange. It's like recently... He was just with Jordan Peterson, and he posted it on his Instagram.
I'm gonna go look it up.
See, but like that's something. Like, I don't know. I would probably also pick Ronaldo. I just don't know what Beyonce's, because obviously, like in terms of like, let's stick with the U.S. I would say Beyonce. Not that Ronaldo doesn't have influence, but it's just Beyonce in America. I mean, it's not really a question. But like when you look international, you know, every soccer fan, which is pretty much the sport for every other country outside of the United States, knows who Ronaldo is and like what he's about. Probably same is true for Messi. If you were to phrase that question for Messi,
Beyonce is like a international touring superstar. She did, do the Super Bowl halftime show, which is like, as a performer, arguably the biggest like event that you can do with all the
Americans.
No, I would say globally it is. Like the Super Bowl gets how many millions of viewers a year? It's always the number one most watched television event of the year. Like it's the biggest.
Well,
if you want to get eyes on you, it's like
what the about biggest like thing if we do. Compare if we compare the Super Bowl to FIFA World Cup, right? Like what's getting more play?
The difference, though, right. is the World Cup is once every 4 years. Super Bowl is every year. And the World Cup doesn't have, like, a halftime show by some mega star.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there, yeah.
I just did some research. Ronaldo has, like, over 200 million more followers on Instagram. Like, 200 million? That's insane. That is, like... 1/25th of the world's population.
I'm pretty sure that's he's also lot. Like the most followed athlete on Instagram, if I recall. Like way more than like Tom Brady or like any other athlete.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like I don't know. I just don't think we really understand how big soccer is.
It also I think a factor is what exactly do you define by influence, right? Because it's like, is it mm-hmm. how many people know of you and like know your career versus like how much have you changed or affected the industry you worked in? So like how much mm-hmm. influence did Beyonce have both on like a global stage and within the music industry? Same can be asked about Ronaldo in terms of the soccer world.
What I will say is this does This does transition perfectly into my water cooler segment, which is also soccer related, which is the time that Maradona partied with Pablo Escobar at Pablo Escobar's mansion/prison. So the story behind this is that Pablo Escobar, when he was arrested in 1991, he cut a deal with the Colombian government that he could build his staff could build the prison that he would be housed in. Like he wouldn't just go to a normal prison. He got to build the prison that he would be living in. So basically he was under like house arrest. It was ridiculous. So he would host parties there with beautiful women. They would he would bring people in to play football matches. And his prison was known as El Catedral, or the Cathedral in English, because of how extravagant it was. He called the prison a cathedral. And one year, while Escobar was in prison, he was serving, or Maradona was serving a 15-month ban from football after failing several drug tests, probably due to his, you know, well-known addiction of, you know, the white substance that Pablo Escobar is known for. And Escobar decided to invite Maradona to one of his parties. And Maradona was quoted as saying, "Pablo Escobar invited me to play football with him in prison. He said, we played a match and everyone had fun. Later, we partied with the most beautiful girls I have ever seen in my life. All of this in a prison. I couldn't believe it." And then afterwards, Maradona claimed several times after the fact that he had no idea who Escobar was or how he became one of the richest men in the world, and that he didn't know about Escobar's exploits until after leaving the prison. Which is...
Wow. Until after leaving?
Yeah, until...
So you're there in prison with just beautiful women, massive party, and you're like, wow, is this guy up for, like, armed robbery? Like, what do we think?
Yeah, he went...
Know. Might be possession.
Somebody had to have been... So what Maradona claims is that somebody was like, oh, you should go to the cathedral. There's beautiful women and soccer there. And he was like, okay. And he went... Somehow not knowing it was Pablo Escobar's, like, mansion prison, and partied with Pablo Escobar all night in his mansion prison, and then was like, I don't know who that guy was. And then he was like, that guy's, like, FBI's most wanted criminal? What? That's crazy.
it's funny because, like, Escobar is, like, that's a great story, but also that, like, photo of him in front of the White House when, like, everyone's trying to look for him. And he's just chilling. Like, he's just the most, like, he does not care. That man is just living his life. And
yeah, besides all the drugs and murder, he sounds kind of chill.
I just can't believe that he, like, the Colombian government was, like, searching for this guy forever. They finally capture him. And they're like, all right, you're going to jail, buddy. And he's like, well, what if I built the jail? And what if I had these, like, legendary soccer matches at my jail? And, like, anybody can come to my jail, and I can still party at my jail, but I just can't leave? And they were like, you know what? That sounds good to us. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. That sounds good to us. You know? Like, I don't know.
It's a very loose interpretation of prison.
Very loose interpretation of prison.
I mean, like, I'm all for rehabilitation, but, like, what the hell? Like, what? That doesn't even... That's crazy. I don't know.
It's got to be, like, the craziest party situation ever. Like, I feel like you always hear about athletes partying. Obviously, like, you know, Rodman and Gronk and, like, all these people. But this is the craziest, I think, is just, like, imagining the scene at, like, Pablo Escobar's mansion prison. And, like, you know, you go there and Maradona's playing in a soccer game. And then he's partying with Escobar after. It's just, like... cuckoo bananas. But I don't know, what are you guys looking forward That's to wild. Forward to next week in sports?
We got some interesting NFL matchups. One that I'm really interested in, which kind of bounces off some earlier talking points about the Bills, is Bills are at the Chiefs. Right now the Chiefs are 1-point favorites, which is weird. I would think the Bills would be favorites. I think there's a lot of emotion for them coming into this game, given the circumstances of, what was it, last year, right?
Yeah.
Last year.
So here's a question for you, Nando. Do you think that the Bills should consider bringing Mitch Trubisky back as just a coin flip specialist?
You know, I mean,
do you think
if they're willing to trade,
do you think maybe that they should have sent Mitch Trubisky out last year for the coin toss instead of Josh Allen?
You know, given the past week, I think so. I think they messed up. And now we have a diamond in the rough. So I'm guessing it might be similar to last year. Chiefs might pull out the win in OT based on the coin toss.
Can you imagine if the Bills lose again on a coin flip? People are going to be pissed.
Bills Mafia will be unhinged.
Ah, they're going to light the
It would
the
be
place
so
on fire.
Good for ratings, though, if they lost on a coin flip.
Yeah.
True. You'd get so much money. But I will say, I think next week, two games I'm looking forward to the most, Bucks Steelers and Panthers Rams. Those games are going to be murder. That is going to be disgusting. It's like what Brady said. Some of the games, like I swear to God, I look at half the games on the schedule every week, and I'm like, this is just awful.
Yeah, why?
Like,
who wants to
watch
Rams
like,
absolutely destroy Baker Mayfield without a head coach now? His head coach just got fired. Like, yeah. Who's coaching that team?
Is it a hot take, though, to say that the Rams aren't actually that good this year? Or is that too early?
I think it's too early.
Yeah,
I think they're
game, like, against the Cowboys, they didn't look good. I'll be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like they've played... It's a lot of that Super Bowl hangover type of issues, you know? Like, obviously the loss of Von Miller in the offseason has really been big for them. But that offense just doesn't seem as mm-mm. as dominant as it was. Not saying it can't be or it won't be, just up till this point. But yeah, there's been a lot of. I am not excited for Steelers Bucks at all. Bucks Steelers.
Yeah.
What I am excited for, though, oddly enough, is baseball postseason, because it's the only time that I give a fuck about baseball is when it's MLB postseason. They have way too many games in a season for me to care. Even when, you know, like the Aaron Judge home run thing that was getting so much hype, I didn't really care that much. Like I only cared because it kept interrupting like college football when I was watching it, and they'd be like, let's cut away to Aaron Judge like getting walked. And I'm like, fuck.
Chase for 62.
But I think baseball postseason is like one of the most exciting postseasons. I think that with basketball, you usually kind of know. Like, the first rounds in basketball are never that interesting. Usually the top seeds win. Baseball, to me, really has this feeling of like anybody can win it if you just make it to the playoffs, which is kind of the case. Like, I don't always feel that way in the NFL. Like, it's very rare that a wild card team makes it to the Super Bowl, and it's exciting when it does. Like, I'm trying to remember even the last like wild card team to make the Super Bowl. Was it the Eagles, maybe? Were the Eagles a wild card team that year?
I don't think. I actually thought they had a bye. I thought they might have been a one or two. No, maybe not.
I don't remember. Like, maybe the Eagles, and then obviously the Giants both times they won the last two times they won the Super Bowl. But it's like rare that a wild card team even makes it to the Super Bowl. Whereas, and kind of same with basketball, right? Like, it's I can't remember the last time like a 5-8 or even like a 4-8 seed made the finals. Baseball really feels like anything. Baseball's got like this magical aura to it. Like, I get kind of fired up for baseball postseason. Like, I will tune into these games. I won't watch them passionately, but I'll throw them on in the background or something.
Well, I mean, just look at what's happened already up until this point. I mean, we had the Phillies beat the Cardinals in a sweep.
Right.
We had the Guardians go to a 15-inning game to win theirs against the Rays. And then, what was it, just yesterday, the Mets losing to the Padres and having what sounds like, from the outside, I'm not a big Mets fan, so I don't know, but it sounds like they had a pretty big collapse for the second half of their season.
All-time collapse, dude. They were like the favorites out of the National League for a lot of the season.
Yep. Isn't that like every year, though, with the Mets? Like, they always... It's kind of like the Knicks, if the Knicks were actually decent, where people are always like, oh yeah, we can do this. Except the difference in this is that the Mets were actually good and the Knicks are just kind
of
manifesting.
The Mets
it.
Are the Knicks like, of MLB.
Yeah.
Did that honestly all I haven't been watching in postseason, but my friend from college is a Mets fan, so it's just his Instagram story is like a tome. It's just like, you know, really everything that has occurred in the Mets like season, I know. Like, I know everything about the Mets from this
guy.
Who's just, and it's like, it's sad. Like, it's like you're... Every great empire has its fall, but it seems like every week the empire is falling over again, you know? It's just like, it's just so depressed. I'm like, wow, man, maybe like...
Yeah, the
past... Try, like, watching the Premier League or something. I don't know.
The past, like, 24 hours of, like, on TikTok were just, like, Mets fans just going bonkers.
But that's also what I
was... The Knicks drafted... Porzingis, remember that? And fans were so mad. Who the fuck is Dingus Pingus? That one video of that guy screaming. I love New York fans because half their teams are so awful, and it is just hilarious to watch.
Even the Yankees, like
heavy New York.
The Yankees are also the two seed. They're probably gonna not win, which is gonna be awesome. Like, there is something about New York teams finding a way to fumble the bag is just awesome as a not New York sports fan.
Yeah, but you're rooting for that because you're a Red Sox fan.
That is true, but I think that just rooting against New York is kind of universally something people like to do. Obviously me more than others because I'm from Boston, but I think, I don't know, I feel like most people hate the Yankees, most people hate the Knicks, like, unless you're a fan of those two teams.
Yeah, and honestly, just nothing is more funny than a person from New York getting really angry.
Yeah.
Like, there are very few things that bring me more joy than someone with a very heavy New York accent just yelling. Just something about it. And it's got that special sauce in it.
It if you watch, like, any... There's a lot of, like, TikTokers who have, like... Who seem to be from, like, the Brooklyn, New York area who are, like, just wildly popular because they're just hilarious. Something about their accent mixed with, like, the content they're able to think of is just... So fun.
That's where, like, Street Talk's from, right? Like, the bing bong, bing bong. Knicks want a bing bong?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and every person from New York is just a cartoon character. None of them are real people. Like, they're all just... I don't get it. These people are, like, living on a different astral plane than the rest of this world. And then the Mets lose, and half of New York just implodes in on itself.
There's that one TikTok account. What's that guy who's like, first we put the bacon on the grill. Like, the guy who makes these, like, wild sandwiches. Is he from... I'm pretty sure he's from, like, New York.
Yeah, he's from New York. I think... Oh, so they had some New York Times reporter, like, go in there and, like, try to order, like, the locals. She's like, could I have a bacon, egg, and cheese the Aki way?
Oh.
It's like, bro.
And it looks like... It doesn't look good either.
Why do you guys ruin it?
I know. And he's like, let me throw some fruit... I'm going to throw some Fruit Loops on there. And, like, oh, dude, on grilled cheese?
Are you trying to kill me? Like, what did I say about mother that made you do this to me?
They all... In those videos, that he always shows, like, a clip of them taking a bite. And there's no way they finish that. Like, how much food is wasted on
this? I have a big beef with, like, when... people make food that's too big for your mouth. Like, everybody's like, oh, look at these fun sandwiches. Like, look how big they are. And I'm like, I can't eat that. Like, if I can't get my mouth around it, if it's uncomfortable for me to get my mouth around a food, I don't want to eat it. Like, it shouldn't pain me to eat food. Like, I just want to taste good. Like, don't make me have to, like, break my jaw to eat, like, a grilled cheese, you know?
That's, like, especially on, like, TikTok and, like, Instagram, stuff like that, because they want to make it look, like, massive and cool. It's just, like, how do you
eat
that?
Yeah, I see that, and that's the first thought I have, too, is, like, I can't eat that, you know? I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going to eat that.
I can't eat that. No way, no how.
The flip side, though, is you get, like, really expensive, really fancy food, and they give you, like, the world's smallest portion you could ever ask for.
I'd take that over the biggest.
That's fair.
You're a maniac. Right. Just get a fork and a knife at that point. I'd rather have the...
Well,
no, that also freaks me out when people, like, eat food that shouldn't be, like, they shouldn't have utensils for, like, pizza with a fork and a knife.
Jail.
It's like, put this guy in an insane asylum. Lock this sick freak away.
All right. Well, I think that is a good point to you know, end the first episode. Yeah, if you watched all the way to this point, God bless you. And I hope you do it again and again and again and again and again. And if you liked it that much, tell your friends about it. And tell your friends to tell their friends and
tell their mothers.
Yeah, tell their...
Everyone get their mother and their mother's friends.
Yes, we need those.
Those are the diehard fans.
Okay, we need the diehards.
We need more moms. Yeah,
that's what we. That's what's going to make this successful or not, is if we have moms watching.
Agreed.
Well, thank you. Tune in next time, wherever you may be listening, watching, whatever. And thanks.